time.
Yeah, right. And
before every attack.
Yeah, and of course a lot of times during the shelling, you know, because that was so, you felt so utterly helpless, you know. And I still have that little New Testament. I still read it.
I'll be darned, yeah.
But, and at the First Division reunions, the gunny sergeant who survived, Hank Boys, and the only officer in the company, Stumpy Stanley, who became the company commander at Peleliu after the Captain Haldane was killed. Stumpy Stanley and Hank Boys always say, "Sledgehammer, we're so damn glad we never knew you were keeping those notes in that New Testament. We just figured you were awfully pause, you know, with all that always had that New Testament out every time we stopped anywhere."
Yeah, he figured you were what you were.
Pious.
Oh, you're awfully pious.
Yeah.
Oh, that was it.
Of course, part of the time I was reading the New Testament, part of the time I was jotting notes down.
Well, were you considered the pretty much the pious one of the group?
No, not more so than anybody else.
Yeah.
Some of the guys were very, but anyway, what I was going to say was Stumpy and Hank Boys always say, "We're so glad we didn't know you were keeping those notes, but we'd have made you throw them away."
Yeah.
We'd have had to tear them up. But some of the guys were very religious, but some of them after a while got so fatalistic they just...
Yeah.
Apparently figured, you know, it's just nothing but dumb chance anyway as to whether you survive.
That's interesting. Chance.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah,
hey,
chance.
You know, there's, have you ever read the poem by Wilfred Owen of World War I?
Oh, he's a great poet.
Insensibility?
No.
I'll have to send you a copy of that because the basic theme of insensibility is the man who can go through combat and not be bothered by the deaths of others and escape chance's strange arithmetic, as he calls it, and the doubt and tease of shelling. And the man who can go through combat and not be bothered by other men's deaths and has developed an insensibility, not through any intent, but through what war has done to him, he's the fortunate one. Because then he doesn't suffer as much as the one who is sensitive to the deaths and suffering of his comrades. But then Owen also says in the poem that you can't compare this man to the old man at home who's never gone anywhere and who's never done anything, and he's just calloused and hardened to everything and has no compassion. They're two totally different things.
Yeah.
That the young combat man out there on the front line develops insensitivity because this is the only way he can cope with it mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And he hates to see his buddies killed and this.
It's called insensitivity or insensibility?
Insensibility.
Insensibility.
Where
Owen?
Wilfred Owen. I've got a Xerox in my briefcase. I'll send you
Rupert Owen and
Siegfried Sassoon.
Rupert Brooke.
You know,
Siegfried Sassoon.
You mentioned Fussell, Fussell.
Oh, yeah, Fussell.
Fussell, yeah. Well,
he wrote this.
Class. But, you know, he also wrote a marvelous book.
The Great War.
The Great War and Modern Memory. And I wrote him in congress.
You like that book?
Oh, well,
I didn't read that.
He did such a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And he brought... There were so many parallels between what he... See, he was an infantryman in World War II in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote this book about World War I. And there were so many parallels between what Fussell talks about in World War I and what we experienced on the front lines in the Pacific in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with all the technology, the basic similarity. But he wrote me that he... has a book, I think, that is just out. It's supposed to come out October.
Called Class?
No, not only Class, but one called The Long Journey of Siegfried Sassoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's a... He told me in the letter that he has photographs in it, and that... You see, Sassoon wrote Memoirs of an Infantry Officer, and then he wrote those wonderful war poems about World War I, and then, you know, he came back home on leave and got together with Bertrand Russell and tried to get involved in getting the war stopped.
Yeah.
You may be aware of that.
Sassoon did.
Yeah, so, but he was a highly respected infantry officer.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert, he thought he would be disciplined for it, and he would, you know, this is the way he would make his point. He had been decorated in France before he did this, before he came back on leave.
Yeah, this guy had the credentials.
Yeah, right, right. And he was a good friend of Wilfred Owens and also of Robert Graves, and who later became, wrote so much in mythology. And Robert Graves went to the medical people and told them, look, Sassoon is not breaking regulations. He just has simply got neurasthenia, they called it then, or no, it's combat fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sassoon was not disciplined, and he explains all this in his semi-biographical memoirs of an infantry officer, and said that his attempt to, you know, at pacifism and to get the war stopped was apparently not going to lead anywhere. So he thought the only thing for him to do was to go back out, as they called it in England, to be with the troops and try to do as much as he could to lead the troops that he had led earlier in the war. And so he went back out into combat and was later severely wounded and sent back to England, and of course wrote all those fine poems. But Fussell has Sassoon had a semi-biographical character he called George Shaston, and this was really himself. And so apparently Fussell has put a lot of this together. He called it the
journey,
the long journey of Siegfried Sassoon, because one of the books was in the semi-biographical series was called Shaston's Journey, and because he's talking about himself, you know, Sassoon.
Just to be sure. K Company, 3rd Battalion, 5th Regiment,
right.
Of the 1st Marine Division.
That's right.